This morning, as I continue in our focus for the year, and that focus is what it means to follow Jesus. What it means to follow Jesus. Well, today's focus I wanted to bring simply because I see so many Christians who seem to be disheartened. As the world will say, well, when is this Savior coming? It's been heard of it all my life and through generation to generation, not here yet. And yet I witnessed many Christians almost having the same attitude. Well, so this morning, I wanted us, each of us, to understand what it truly means to follow Jesus as a Christian. I want you to see what all Jesus Christ does for us. And you and I, as individuals, so often don't realize that all of those good things happening to us come from the Lord. And we give Him praise, but when something really gets us down, so often the question of, Lord, am I not your child? Why is this going on with me? God is not a respecter of persons. God is a respecter of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. I and you, as a Christian, we together have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. And so therefore, when you and I turn to the Scriptures and we look in the Holy Word of God, we see all of these stories. And we think, you know, isn't it so foolish of His disciples? Didn't they know? Why are they acting the way they're acting? Why, if I was there during Jesus' day, I would have supported Him. You do know that meant death. I would have been with Him. I would have never let that happen. Really? Then why are we letting it happen today? Why are we standing silent when the Word of God is mocked? Now, I don't need to stand toe-to-toe with the enemy of God. I got to deal with that every day with my own human existence. And then Satan, sometimes Satan does not have to attack us. We're doing pretty good messing up on our own, right? And yet we will say, well, the devil made me do that. The devil has no authority over a born-again Christian. The new born-again spirit he's afraid of, because that means Jesus in you, Jesus in me. Do you really think Satan is foolish enough to try that again? You know, I would guess once you've been thrown out of heaven by the Son of God Himself, you'll learn not to mess with Him or His family any longer. But Satan, realizing that he can do nothing and has no power in the presence of Jesus, he also realizes because God allowed you and me to have free will that Satan then can mess with God's children. But he can't mess with me or you in my new nature, only my old. That's why we have scriptures that tell us to live in Christ. Allow Christ to be in us. I am to live the new Christian existence when I said yes to Jesus. And then by walking with Jesus, realizing in this born-again spirit within you, Satan has no authority. So then why does Satan seem like he's winning? Is it because that we as God's children have refused to pay attention to the focus Jesus told us to focus on. That's Him. Not on what you have the ability to do, or I have the ability to do, or the gift that God gives me, or the gift that God gives you. That gift does not have energy without the power of Jesus Christ who gave it. That gift has no authority without the authority of the blood of the Lamb. So therefore, you and I need to look at the promise. These are blessings for us today. I want you to look at what it truly means, following Jesus, and then let's get about our Father's business. We are protected by His amazing grace and His gift of our ability, it's a gift from God, to express amazing faith. Okay, you and I need to understand that we live because of the grace of God, but He has given us the ability to accept the faith He wants us to have. So why don't I have more faith then? God never wastes faith, remember? If I'm not using the faith He's already given me, what would make Him think I would do any better with more? Lord, just give me more. More love, more gifts. Just give me more and I'll give more to you. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you won't give Him 10 cents out of a dollar that He let you have, you won't give Him anything out of the millions. And see, that has nothing to do with it. If you won't give Him your life to serve Him through the ability He's given us as individuals, and we said, but our ability is small. Well, good. Let's all of us together put our small abilities together. Doesn't that make it great? When you got all the small ones put together, is that not the body of Christ? Are we not commanded by God to be His body on earth? Jesus said, I gave you all the love you'll ever need. God's not going to give us any more love than He's given us. He's given us His ultimate love. We're the ones that continually refuse to accept it. Unless there's danger or there's a disease, there's something going on with the family real close to us, and then all of a sudden we hit our knees and said, Lord. And sometimes feel like we need to reintroduce ourselves. Lord, it's me. But God says, I've never forgotten you. I've never moved away from you, Larry. I've always been there. If you feel distant, check it out. It is the Spirit of God that gives you and I hope. Once again, it's not based on our ability or who we are. It's based on who Jesus is. But He said, I'm going to give you, because my grace is so and it's sufficient, I'm going to give you the ability to accept faith. Now, faith is a gift. And God says, I will give you the faith. I will make your faith grow stronger. Well, what does He use to make our faith grow stronger? Trials, tribulations. The thing we keep moaning about, you know, people in a hospital going through all these surgeries and saying, oh, Lord, why did you forget me? And somebody in the bed beside of him saying, Lord, please, next time, take his tongue. It's the idea of blaming God. God is always where He's always been. God is still in control. And His love is amazing. Jesus went to His disciples. I want to get through this story for you today. It's very important. Jesus going to His disciples, He goes to the boat and He says, look, I'm going to get in a boat with you boys. Now, these fishing boats, best I remember, 7.5 feet wide and about 27 foot long. Supposed to seat or hold about 15 different individuals. For me, that'd be a small boat. And so Jesus says, take me to the other side. So Jesus gets in the boat. This is not the story of him walking on the water. Jesus gets in the boat. And he lays down in the boat and goes to sleep. So as they're crossing, he said, go across the Sea of Galilee. And so they're heading east. And you don't care. But they were headed out east. And he goes to sleep. And then, as always happens in the Sea of Galilee, you cannot predict when the storm is going to come. And the storm comes up, and the mariners or his disciples, and here they are, and they're saying, what are we going to do? We're going to sink. That storm is coming over us and all. And did you notice, if you'll read that, notice Jesus still sleeping. Now, folks, I see this as this way. Jesus is on a boat in his physical 100% human body. But he has laid down to go to sleep, and he was resting in the everlasting arms of his Father, God. Yeah, he's doing fine sleeping. The storm's not messing with him. Why? He's resting in the arms of his Father. All the rest of the humans on that boat, they were dependent on the boat. They're resting in that wood. And the storm's coming. And can't you picture? Somebody wake Jesus up. What's he doing sleeping? You remember another story about a man in what we call the whale, Jonah, in the hull of the ship? Fast asleep while the ship's getting ready to sink. The difference on this one, this is Jesus. Jonah was running away from God. Jesus is God. And he's doing just fine humanly. Listen to the story though. In Matthew 8:26, they wake Jesus up and here's what he says. These are believers. Here's what he says. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds. Another translation, I put that in there for you, says he told the storm to be quiet. And you know, I'm guessing that as he's telling the storm to be quiet, he meant for his disciples to sort of chill out too. What's the lesson there? When Jesus is in the boat's not going to sink. When you get in the right boat and Jesus is there, don't get out of the boat. When Jesus stands up and he says to a storm, be quiet, you witness it, you better start believing. For that's the God of the universe. That's the Savior of the world. And he's coming back. Amen. But till he comes back physically, he said, stay in the boat because I am with you. Have the faith. What would happen? We said we have faith, and trials and troubles start hitting us. Oh, woe is me. Oh, like Hunter says, suck it up, Marine. Come on, Christian, get it together. Let us stand strong, for it is the strength of Christ that makes us that way. Not we ourselves. It's not how intelligent we are. It's how great our God is. But Jesus was dealing with these human problems. Now, listen to this next story. Because you're talking about Matthew 17, verses 19 through 20. I'm going to be dealing with. This is a demon-possessed boy. And he's demon-possessed. Well, here was the problem. Jesus' disciples, yep, they were the ones in the boat. Jesus' disciples We're standing there as the father of the boy comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, he recognized Jesus for who he was. My son has an evil spirit to where he throws himself in the fire. We have to watch him every second. And Jesus is looking around and the dad tells on the disciples. We ask your disciples to help us, but they could not cast out the demon inside of him. And I picture Jesus looking at his disciples again. Boys, are you ever going to get it together? Think of it. And here's what Jesus says. He says to the demon to come out. But here's the key. After Jesus had cast out the demon, his disciples come and they say, Matthew 17, 19, 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. They're already embarrassed, folks. In private. And asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You didn't have the faith. What's he talking about? He says, you're not activating the faith I've given you. Hey, you boys have watched me raise the dead. You boys have seen me do just about anything that you always call impossible. That's who I am. I'm the God who says nothing is impossible. I'm the God that will reach down to the depth of where you are and I will pull you out of an ocean full of angry fish. And I will give you the strength to stand. So if I tremble and fall, you and I recognize it's the weakness of us allowing Christ to give us his faith. I can have nothing that Christ doesn't give me. Amen. So therefore, we stand together. One body, one Christ, one baptism, together. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God and the Savior of all life. He is in control. He's lost nothing. So therefore, when you and I decide that we had rather go off whoring into the world, we realize that the world it's still the same way it was when we said we left it. So God says, you didn't have the faith. Here, the embarrassing part was, Christ had already told the disciples it was the faith through Jesus, not through them. You reckon that sometimes preachers or leaders of a church want people to focus on them rather than the Christ they're supposed to be preaching? Now, I have no intention of ever coming to one of my congregation and looking at them, slapping them upside the head, saying, demon, be gone. I know you all. And you will automatically let me know that I look like the demon and then I'm knocked down. See, that's not going to happen. Why? Because it's not in who I am, it is in who Jesus is in me. We are to preach the gospel. Now, here's Jesus' reaction. I wanted to put this last, but or next to last, because here's his reaction. His reaction was, when they brought the boy to him, here's what he said. Matthew 17, 17. Hold it to your heart. O unbelieving and perverse generation. His disciples are the ones that are there. Getting it? Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Do you hear the command? Bring the boy here to me. That command has never changed. Don't bring the boy to the preacher. Bring the boy to the Savior. Bring the boy to the one who gives life, and to the one who takes life, and to the one who can cast into hell or receive unto himself. It is Christ we lift up. You and I live and breathe according to who he is in us. Why would I fear a world that's already lost the war? Why would I fear the enemy who comes at me and you on a daily basis when I've already read the book and know the ending? Christ says, this is what it means to follow me. I'll give you the power of faith. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be there with you. That's never the question. The question is always, where were you? Jesus hadn't left. Where were you? Do you stand for just fun in your life and pleasure? Listen, I love pleasure, I love fun, but I refuse to have it when it means that I've got to stop preaching the gospel to have it. You know, if you just didn't talk so much and get so loud, Brother Larry, sometimes you're loud. Well, it's obvious I haven't been loud enough. Let me tell you who needs to get loud in our heart. It is Christ. You see, he says you need to turn the volume up in your life, in your heart. You need to listen to me, because I'm the only hope that you have. This is what following Jesus through faith means. And this is the last of the scripture. Listen well. This is what it truly means for you and me as a Christian. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Not a hope that's dead, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus said, I showed you personally, I've conquered death. Death has no authority over you or me. I say it about every Sunday. The Christian cannot see death, but I can't see death because of who Jesus is. Not because I'm so good or you so good, because we're not. And into an inheritance, listen to this. Listen, this is what it truly means. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for who? For you. What a bank. What a bank. I'm banking on my Savior Jesus Christ. And I placed my spirit of who I am in his hands. That bank doesn't get robbed. That bank doesn't lose anything, and the interest on my investment cannot be counted. That's what's important. Who through faith, listen, through faith are shielded, this is us, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. When's the last time? Anytime. Anytime is the last time. I don't know. That's why Jesus said you better be ready. Don't cry, oh Lordy, when the devil done got you. Lord, I meant to say I know you. What do you mean you meant to? The meaning for our life is what's inside of us, is it not? When you go home or when you're alone, do we not realize it's just me and Jesus? See, Jesus knows my inner thoughts, not my family, not my wife. Nobody knows my inner thoughts. And you and I are not going to tell a lot of them if they ask us. But God says, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, listen, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, now see if this isn't our life. For now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Right? I mean, is there anybody that's never had grief in their life? If they say, I've never had grief in their life, then they're not human. And not only that, get away from them. They're either not human or they're lying. And you don't want to be there when they're lying in the presence of God, and you sure don't want to be there if somebody's talking to you and you realize they're not human. Leave. Now, these have come, the trials and tribulations, you ready? These have come so that your faith, and listen, of greater worth than gold. And, you know, I see the advertisements every day, invest in gold, invest in gold. You can't eat gold. You can't eat gold. And if the monetary system collapses on the dollar, you can't eat gold or silver. So what are we talking about? My trust, your trust must be in the Christ that we said we trusted in when we accepted him as Lord and Savior of our life. Every person in America, rich, poor, homeless, or with mansions, live better than 2/3 of the rest of the world. We've been given a gift from God of freedom. And given the gift and the power that if someone attempts to take the freedom away, for us to stand and hold on to it. For it is a gift of God, not of man. Greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Your faith to be proved genuine. And may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, listen to this. See, this is what Jesus jumped on Thomas. Remember Thomas, doubting Thomas, and remember he's coming, and Jesus said, see my hand, put your hand, fingers in the hole of my hand and in my side. And then Thomas falls to his knees and said, my Lord, my God. Remember Jesus' statement right after that. Thomas, you believe because you have witnessed. You've seen. You put your fingers in the hole in my hand and in my side. But then he goes on, and Jesus says, catch it, but how much more are the blessings for those who believe and they've never seen me? Folks, that's you and I. That's the body of Jesus in this generation. That's the body of Christ. That's who we are to represent. And how much more, Jesus says, will I give the greater blessing to those who believe and never seen me? Then do you mean, Jesus is saying, that our generation is the most blessed of all? Yep. Yes. That's exactly what the Word of God means. We are. You see, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I know that the foolishness of the sin part from the old nature, when it creeps in, I could never be charged with that. So my whole life then, what is left of it, must be dedicated to Christ. Because if not, the old nature will get me in more trouble than I can handle. Believe that, folks. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving, that's continuing tense, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Already receiving it. Remember, that's why the Word of God says, when we say yes to Jesus, count it as though you're already there. But we don't. What happens? Christians so often fall back to legalism. Oh, I just can't do this Christian stuff right. Well, join you, Pastor. I can't either. Because you see, I don't understand right. I don't understand wrong. For one person, which was me at one time, to deal with hardcore criminals and to kneel and to pray and have prostitutes around who want to pray and all of this. Not everybody had that same calling. But I would be condemned for dealing with, can you believe he's dealt nothing but the criminal element? There's got to be something wrong with him. Well, according to the world, there is. It's called being born again and following your call. That's not the question that should be asked from my congregation or others. The question that I've already often posed to this congregation is, why did God give me 30 years training in the prison system before I became a pastor? Got to be a reason for that. You see, evil has nothing to do with what side of the bar it's on, bars. Evil's in the heart of man. And I've told pastor after pastor, if you're so right in what you're saying that you don't want these kind of people in your church, check it out. They came from your church. Do we not understand? You and I are called by God to follow Jesus. These are the blessings, Jesus said, I'll give you as you go, as you follow. Not if, as you go, consider yourself already there. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you, thanking you, Lord, for your love, for your word, Father. We ask, Father, that it be your truth that directs us each day of our life. And Father, that each of us will share your love with the lost and dying world, but Father, that we will truly be about your business in all that we do. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.